we get things underway by welcoming into the program the news director for Arlington Community Media down in Arlington, Mass, a guy who's got roots in the industry that come all the way back here to Bangor, Maine. We're pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jeff Barn. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, it's good to be with you, Rich. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. How's your Friday so far?
You know what? It's Friday. That means it's great.
There you go.
Even if it's a bad Friday, it's a Friday.
I want to talk about your background first. I alluded to it there, but was it your first stop along the way when you were here in Bangor back in the 80s?
I've been broadcasting for nearly 40 years. I started out on radio in Atlantic City, but that was basically just for a few months. So I always say Bangor was the beginning of my career in broadcasting. I was the news director and the anchor at 6 and 11 at WBII Channel 7 in Bangor, and I was there for a year and a half, and I had a blast up there. Bangor is absolutely beautiful. I miss Maine. One of the most beautiful places I ever lived in. And I just learned a lot. It was the beginning of my broadcasting career. So, of course, you're going to pick up some things along the way and learn a lot. It was a crash course for me in broadcasting, and it could not have happened in a better place.
Well, I remember you when you were on up here at Channel 7, and along the way, you also had a chance to talk with the owner here, Stephen King.
Yeah, it was funny. I had many chances. I lived not too far away from Stephen King's house. I believe it was on Highland Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Right off of Union.
Right.
I had a second floor of a Victorian home. It was beautiful, a beautiful one-bed apartment. And so it wasn't a far ride to the station, but I used to take walks around the neighborhood. And I ran into Stephen King because, of course, the first thing you do when you're in Bangor is look for his house. And I just arrived from Atlantic City, and I was walking down the street on the side of his house, and I noticed he had a few cars in there, and I remember Cadillacs being there, two or three of them, and he was outside, and I just approached him and said, hello, I'm the new guy in town. I'm a news director for the ABC affiliate in Bangor, and in college I read Barry, The Shining. My favorite book of all time is The Stand, and he couldn't have been more gracious. I shook his hand, and I said, I'm looking very much forward to doing stories with you up here, and I was lucky enough and blessed enough to do just that, and it was just such a pleasure to talk to him. Very interesting man. Always remembered his community, decided to stay there and do everything he could to improve the community, and I've heard through the years that he's done just that. So just a dynamic human being, and it was just a pleasure to meet him, and I was blessed, like I said, to interview him many times. And yes, the day he got the FCC license for WZON, I got to interview him right in front of your station. And I said, how does it feel? Because I remember it being very difficult for him to get the license. And then once they granted him the license, I said, how does it feel to finally have your own radio station? And at the time, I believe it was Classic Rock. And he said, when you ask a girl out for a date and she keeps saying no, and then all of a sudden you ask her for a date and she finally says yes. He said, that's exactly how I feel about getting this radio. I'll never forget that. But it's typical Stephen King. So it was a pleasure to meet him, like I said, many times.
Well, one of the reasons we wanted to speak with you today is to talk about the work you've been doing with a great friend of our show and one of the most interesting people around, as you have certainly found out, Upton Bell and his family's rich history and deep connections to the National Football League. How did you two get together?
I was shooting video in a field. And I kid, oh, they were aerating the grass, and I was just getting some summer shots, and I got this call from our operations manager here, and he said, we have someone here who would like to be interviewed. We don't have an interview for him, and since you're here, is there any chance that you can, get off that field that you're shooting and come in here? I went, yeah, not a problem. I said, who is it? And they said, Upton Bell. And I'm thinking, Upton Bell, what is, why does that name sound so familiar? Now, I'm from originally the Philadelphia area. I come from South Jersey. And I'm thinking, Upton Bell. That's, I've read that name before. Who is it? And I come in and I quickly, of course, before you interview anybody, you Google them so you don't, sound stupid when you're talking to them. I'm going, oh my God, that's it. It's Bert Bell's kid. And Bert Bell, of course, was the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles. And Bert, Upton Bell's mother was she was a Broadway actress. She eventually went out to Hollywood and did films. And it just went from there. So I started interviewing him. And then every single time we would talk, and it wasn't one of those interviews where you have three questions. Every time we would chat, it was, oh my gosh, I never knew this. That opens up a whole new vein here for another story we could do down the road. And so far we've done 7 or 8 pieces. And I thought we'd be doing maybe 10 total because we'd like to turn this into a documentary. And I'm on number 8, and I'm thinking I have another 6 or 7 to go at least. And I'm sure after that I'm going to have more. I don't know where it's going to end, but I just got done talking to him minutes ago. We talked in the library here in Arlington about his days with the Baltimore Colts when he was a scout. After his father had passed away, he went to the Baltimore Colts and worked with Johnny Unitas and Art Donovan and Raymond Berry and, all these Hall of Famers. And some of the things that he went through in Baltimore. Then, of course, he came up to New England. He was the general manager of the Patriots. In fact, he's the guy who named them the New England Patriots. They were the Boston Patriots. Then, very ever so briefly, they were the Bay State Patriots until he realized, wait a minute, BS Patriots? If we have a bad season, that's not going to sound good in the press. So it was Upton Bell who said, hey, you know, we had this new stadium, Schaefer Stadium at the time, between Providence, Rhode Island, and Boston, Massachusetts, let's call them the New England Patriots. So it was Upton who named them the New England Patriots.
Well,
Upton tried to be an owner. I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say Upton has shared some of the video clips that you've put together, and they're just tremendous. And when you were mentioning that you were originally from Philadelphia, I love the stories of him sharing growing up on the basketball courts, the playgrounds of Philadelphia as a young man.
Yeah, and his game was basketball. His old man at the time was the commissioner of the NFL, but he was playing basketball for LaSalle. What a marvelous childhood to be following your dad around, who's the NFL commissioner, to the sport that wasn't quite America's pastime yet. That was still being ruled by baseball. But his father being commissioner from 1946 to 1959 is so intriguing. He hardly had any money. He was a coach in Philadelphia. He worked briefly for the Temple Owls, then went to the University of Penn, which is where his father went, where Burt Bell went. Hardly had any money. Was willing, this woman named Frances Upton, who was an Upton Bell named after his mother. She was a movie star. And with her money, after they got married, he bought the Philadelphia Eagles for $2,500 in 1933. $2,500 for an NFL football team. And when they were, after they bought the team, they were looking up at one of FDR's emblems for his, I think it was the NRA, the National Recovery Act. And the NRA logo is red, white, and blue, but there is a blue eagle in the middle. And his father, Bert, said, you know what? I'm a big fan of FDR. The Eagles, they're going to be called the Philadelphia Eagles. Because before that, they were known as the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets. So his mother, with the mother's money, bought that team. And that's how Burt Bell was an owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, also a partial owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and eventually his team owners voted him in as the football commissioner. So to lead a life like that for Upton and then, you know, go to the Baltimore Colts when they were the legendary Colts, you know, like I said, Johnny Unitas, one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived, and to be with those players and to see his, you know, them be part of a community. They're dynamic stories. He's literally the Forrest Gump of sports.
He is. He's Zelig. He's everywhere.
He goes beyond sports. He knows everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you'll mention anyone. You mention anyone from Hollywood. You mention any president. And you'll say, LBJ. Oh, I ran into him at a bar somewhere in Washington. Like, what? You know, and there's that other story that I'm talking about. So every time I talk to this guy, I'm thinking, well, there's 2 or 3 more stories right there. He's a fascinating man with many, many stories to tell. And as you know, sports, you know, very interesting, but sports really reflects our culture. So it really seeps into that, too. And then you were talking about the basketball. We were talking about race in the early 1960s. And, you know, here's Upton, a 23, 24-year-old kid going through the South, scouting football players, going to the African-American colleges. And this is before Selma. This is when Martin Luther King was doing his marches. This is right after he gave his I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial. So Upton just is always at the right place at the right time when it comes to history. So he's a very fascinating man.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite segments that you've produced is him talking about those days recruiting in the traditionally black colleges and universities of the Deep South and being told, maybe you need to go home and not be here in Memphis. Yeah. And this was, of course, the time period that was leading up to the garbage strike, which would bring Martin Luther King Jr. To speak and then also to meet his assassination in 1968.
Yeah. Yes. There was one time he was near Selma. He was on his way to see Bear Bryant at the University of Alabama to look at some of the players. And he said, I never heard of Selma until I was listening to it on the radio and I was driving through the South on the way to the University of Alabama. And he stopped for gas. So he pulls over. He said, I had to go to the bathroom. So he goes to the bathroom. On the way back to the car, he sees this sign, you know, whites only. And the other sign was awful. It had the N-word in it. And Upton said to the gas station attendant, God, that's awful. This is just terrible. And the guy said, well, if you would like to drive off now, you go ahead. If not, if you want to stick around here, I'm going to blow your head off. This is a scout for the Baltimore Colts, you know, in the early 60s. So, yeah, the things that he saw, and, yeah, he left Memphis and flew back to Baltimore. At the time, it was Friendship Airport. Now it's CWI Airport. Looks up at the TV screen when he lands and finds out that Martin Luther King had just been assassinated. And it was a coach who said, you better leave. And it was an African-American coach who told him. He told him to leave. The one thing, you know, when you think of scouts, first of all, most of them were in their 40s and 50s. Upton was in his early 20s. So, of course, when you're that young, sometimes you're foolish and you take chances. And instead of just going to the big schools like Alabama, Texas A&M, he was going to these African-American schools because he said, what I'm seeing from these players is way better than what I'm seeing from these predominant schools. So it's just a great reflection. Again, it's just not a sports story. It's a story about our history, about our culture, and truly to this day where we're going. You know, we still have a long way to go when it comes to that.
No question about that. Well,
he's a fascinating man.
He is. He's led an amazing life, and he's a tremendous storyteller with a great memory as well. And Upton was telling me that some of these segments have been submitted for regional Emmys. I would think they would be a lock, but of course you never know.
Oh, man. You know what? Can you do a joke? I'll put some money under the table for you.
Thanks, thank you.
we've submitted four in, and I just finished two in January that we'll probably be submitting into the regional Boston Emmys. And we'll see what happens. But I love to tell stories. I mean, I always love being in broadcasting because I love to tell stories, and every single time I tell a story, I'm learning something, and it's almost like, well, damn, I need everybody else to hear this. This is an incredible story, and so I've been blessed in that regard, and you get paid to learn. If you're a reporter, you know, you go out and you talk to somebody, you interview somebody, you learn something, you come back, you get a paycheck. It's the antithesis of college, so it's a nice profession when you get it. I'm learning a ton from Upton Bell. It's just incredible. I'll talk about his mom. He'll mention Al Capone. I talk about his dad. So there's a funny story. His father was taking the kids to a restaurant in Philadelphia. This is when he was the football commissioner. He was at the time he was the Roger Goodell. He's walking into a restaurant in Philadelphia with his kids. I think it was after a game. And one guy started to harass him, saying, the Eagles are terrible. We can't stand the team. Your team is terrible. The game's fixed. I can't stand football, whatever, whatever. He took him down at the table. He said, kids, I'll be right back. I'm using the restroom. He goes out and he punches the guy out. He punches him right there in the parking lot, knocks the guy out. He needed ambulatory care. This is the commissioner of the NFL. Now, can you imagine Roger Goodell doing something like that today and watching, you know, MSNBC and CNN and Fox go all over it? It'd be hilarious. But the stories this guy has to tell is unbelievable.
Well, we can't wait to see more of it. And hopefully this will turn into a full-fledged documentary. A fascinating story. And, Jeff, a great work from what we've seen so far. And it's great to talk with you. Thanks so much for making some time for us here this afternoon.
Absolutely, and you know what? I have a soft spot in my heart for Bangor because that's where it all began, and I have got to get back up there. First famous person I ever interviewed, I was scared to death, was in Bangor, Maine. It was in 1984 when I interviewed John Glenn when he was making a run for the presidency in the Democratic primary at a restaurant called the Red Lion.
Yes.
Which I understand is no longer there, which is sad. But that was truly the beginning of my career. So I always have a soft spot in my heart for Bangor. friendliest people in the world, and I learned so much up there. So I owe a lot to that city. And please give everyone my regards. I got to get up there very soon someday.
I will do that. We're glad to have played a part in all that's happened to you in your career. Jeff, thanks so much for visiting with us. We wish you continued success.
Well, thank you very much, Rich, and I appreciate it. Hope to talk to you soon, and please tell Mr. King I said hi and I miss interviewing him.
I will do that. That's Jeff Barnes from ACMI, Arlington Community Media, again, working on this wonderful series with our friend Upton Bell, and we'll keep you posted on how that goes and have Jeff back on at some point if they get closer to it being a documentary, which would be fantastic.